Francis Gargani, Redemptress, with you once again on the 6th of this month of May, reflecting with you from our Redemptress Provincial House of Washington, D.C. Happy spring and ongoing Easter blessings. I so hope you are experiencing the ever surprising and ever new signs of spring wherever you reside. Washington is ablaze with azaleas and white snowball bushes, a bloom, and the miracle of formerly naked trees now luxuriously bearing a rich canopy of green. Mother Nature offers us such a banquet of life, bursting with hope. You can understand why our church mothers and fathers refer to creation as our first scriptures. Though today's gospel passage from John 15:26 to 16:4 assures us that God's Spirit is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from Abba God and is our advocate, especially when challenged and persecuted by those who do so in the name of religion. It's today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles I find so heartwarming and delightful. Take a listen. We set sail from Troas, making a straight run for Samothrace, and on the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a leading city in that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We spent some time in that city. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate along the river where we thought there would be a place of prayer. We sat and spoke with the women who had gathered there. One of them, a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, from the city of Thyatira, a worshiper of God, listened, and the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and her household had been baptized, she offered us an invitation. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come, stay at my home. And she prevailed on us. Once again, women take center stage, or at least a particular woman named Lydia. Paul and his companions seek out a place of prayer outside the city gates of Philippi. There, in that leading city of the Macedonia district, a Roman colony, they come upon a group of women in prayer, and they encounter Lydia. She's identified as a dealer in purple cloth, which I think is a marker of some status economically. Purple cloth in that culture demanding more value than ordinary. She is not only open to listen, along with the others, of Paul and his companions' testimony about the Christ, but she seizes the moment. She asks for baptism, and St. Paul responds by obviously going to her home, since the text includes her household also receiving baptism. She then extends amazing hospitality to Paul and his companions. Come, stay at my house. We know that Paul and his companions were carrying on the tradition of Jesus in this story by breaking the social barriers of their day. Not only did women have no status in that society, but men ordinarily would never join them in prayer. It seems like a minor detail in the story, but it's really major. It's with women outside the city gates, Paul and his companions encounter sheer grace. Lydia was a gift to them, responding so enthusiastically to their proclamation of the good news. What joy that in itself brought to Paul and his companions. Lydia and her whole household's baptism alone made their trip more than worth it. But grace kept overflowing, for Lydia offers them that most treasured gift of their Middle Eastern culture, hospitality. With no Motel 8s or Marriott's or Holiday Inns, hospitality was held in such high esteem that it mirrored the face of God. And we also know from extra scriptural sources that Lydia actually became the leader of the Christian community in Philippi. She is a champion of more significant feminine leadership in our church today. Doesn't Lydia's witness and place in our Christian story continue to bring us delight and revelation? She reminds us that both for her and for us, the grace of God often shows up in the most unlikely people and unlikely times and in the most unlikely places. Our God is a God of Easter joy, ever up front of ever evolving new creation. Old habits and thinking shouldn't keep us from recognizing the inbreaking of grace. Be ready for surprising change, even disruption of our narrow perception of what's valid, licit, or acceptable. Our God is always making all things new. And yes, seize the moment. Fear or convention or limiting cultural norms often paralyze us. We miss the grace, the gift that's given. There's an urgency in the good news. The revelation of God demands action. And yes, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, is always being put out upon us to live more fully our baptismal identity as daughters and sons of the Most High, to welcome and be welcomed into an intimate, ever-surprising, life-giving relationship with God, and to be about the work of hospitality, the great work of restoring sacred dignity to Mother Earth, to all her creatures, and to all her people. Hospitality that leads to everyone taking their rightful place at the table of life. Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy, whose trust ever childlike no cares can destroy, be there at our waking and give us, we pray, your bliss in our hearts, Lord, at the break of the day. Lord of all eagerness, Lord of all faith, whose strong hands were skilled at the plain and the lathe, be there at our labors and give us, we pray, your strength in our hearts, Lord, at the noon of the day. Lord of all kindliness, Lord of all grace, your hands swift to welcome, your arms to embrace, be there at our homing and give us, we pray, your love in our hearts, Lord, at the eve of the day. Lord of all gentleness, Lord of all calm, whose voice is contentment, whose presence is balm, be there at our sleeping and give us, we pray, your peace in our hearts, Lord, at the end of the day. Amen.